Amen. We're excited for the word of the Lord today. The word of the Lord tonight is found in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. And I promise you, I didn't pick this chapter because that's my name as well, but Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. And it says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked him, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we give you honor. We give you praise. We honor you this day, Lord. We thank you, God, even for your spirit that's hovering in this place right now. We reverence you. We reverence your presence right now, Lord. Oh, God, right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just touch, oh, God, anoint these lips of clay. Speak to me, speak through me, speak for me, and speak from me. I give you praise this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now solicit your prayers. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk to you from the subject, Lord, touch me again. Lord, touch me again. Most of us, if we're honest, would admit that there are some processes that the Lord takes us through. And even while we're going through them, we question God on why this process has to take place. I would equate this, if you will, to this food called buttermilk. Some of you know about this food called buttermilk. I tried drinking buttermilk one time in my life, and I promise you, I will never ever drink buttermilk again. I just can't stand the texture, the taste, or anything like that. If I were to think about that thing right now, my stomach probably would get queasy in here as I'm thinking about it. But while I can admit that I don't care for buttermilk, I do like foods that have buttermilk in them. For instance, buttermilk pancakes, buttermilk pound cakes. And you all may not believe this, but I make a mean buttermilk pie. But the idea of drinking plain buttermilk, I'm sorry, but I'll just pass on that any day. And I'm not sure who all in here today who is with me on drinking buttermilk, but I'm sure that all of us would have rather avoided a process that God sometimes takes us through. For some of us, we just want to say process, just say we want to avoid the process rather and just get straight to the end. But God is telling somebody today, in order for you to get to where I have designed for you to be, you have to go through the process. And we, on the other hand, find ourselves telling God, why all of this? Why all of that I'm going through? Why did I have to go through this process? And so it's a fact, my brothers and sisters, that if given a chance, most of us would rather not go through the process. We would rather skip straight to the conclusion. And let me remind you in here today that just because you're saved, just because you're baptized, just because Jesus paid it all on the cross when he hung, bled, and died, and on the third day he rose with all power in his hands, there are still some processes that we still have to go through. And while we are going through the process, we must understand that there are times when this process that we're going through, we may not experience the freedom from the process, but what we experience is freedom in the process. If you were to visit Daniel in the lion's den and the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, you would see that they didn't get deliverance from the process. They got their deliverance while they were in the process. And if there's anybody in here tonight who is watching this, or anybody here tonight you find yourself in a situation that you're looking at your deliverance out of, maybe your time to shout is while you're in, because maybe that's what God has orchestrated, that you will find your deliverance. And let me encourage somebody and tell you tonight that just because you're going through a process doesn't mean that there isn't an issue. There's an issue or a problem in your walk with the Lord. Just because you're going through a process doesn't mean that there is some fault or some shortcoming in your faith or your faithfulness. Just because you're going through a process doesn't even mean that it's the devil. But you could just be going through a process because God is taking you through some steps and some stages. And in the end, those steps and stages will work out for the good. Can somebody say yes, Lord, in this house? Cover Jesus, our Savior, who had the power to call down legions of angels and to set them free. And when he died, it appeared as if all hope was lost. And if I recall, Jesus had prayed that this cup would pass from him. But the good news today is that he got the victory while in the process, when he destroyed death, hell, and the grave. Somebody here who's going through, I want to encourage you tonight that God hasn't forgotten about you, and neither is he willing to let anything bring you down. So therefore, it's time to rejoice, my brothers and sisters, because even while you're in the process, God is still working some things out. And he can either bring you deliverance out of, or he can bring you deliverance while in. And either way he does it, it ends up being the very best way that it could have been done. Some say that Daniel was fast asleep in the lion's den, a den that also occupied, that was occupied with the king of the jungle. But what the king didn't understand is that the person on Daniel's side was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if Daniel was asleep in the lion's den, this was probably the very best sleep he ever got. Daniel didn't know how his deliverance would come. Daniel didn't know would he be delivered out of the lion's den. Daniel didn't know would it come by him being delivered while he was in it. Daniel didn't know, or would the Lord just take him away. Daniel didn't know, or would the Lord simply just kill the lion. Or would the Lord just let him be devoured by the lion and go on to glory? But either way, Daniel was comfortable with the Lord's decision. And therefore, Daniel could enjoy a good night's sleep while the king had to endure a restless night. But it's time to rejoice, my brothers and sisters, because there are times when the very process that God has allowed you to come your way and into your life, it's a miracle in itself. And if there's anybody in here today who is going through something or going through a process, I just want you to, if you don't mind, just prophesy to yourself right now and just say, miracle, come forth. Say it again, miracle, come forth. Miracle, come forth. What that means is you going through a process right now, but sooner or later God is going to birth that miracle in your life. You may be going through a process right now, but sooner or later God is going to birth that deliverance in your life. You may be going through a process right now, but sooner or later God is going to birth that victory in your life. You may be going through a process right now, but sooner or later God is going to take you to higher heights and deeper depth. You may be going through a process right now, but don't worry about it, my brothers and sisters, because God's hand is all over that situation. And so all you got to do is just trust the process. I know you may not like it, but trust the process. You may not know where he's taking you to, but trust the process. I know this may be an uncomfortable journey, but simply just trust the process, because in the end, he's going to work it out for his good. Can somebody say yes, Lord, in this house today? My brothers and sisters, and when we look at the gospel, they were all written to a different audience. Mark's gospel is the shortest of the gospels, and he was very selective as to what was included. And Mark's theme and the idea of this book is to describe and to prove Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and also the Son of Man, a servant of humanity. And it was addressed to the Jews and Gentile audience. And because his audience included the Gentiles, Mark does not spend a lot of time on Jewish genealogy of Jesus. Mark is a writer who believes in getting straight to the point, and he points out 19 miracles to reinforce his belief that Jesus on his way to Calvary was for the benefit of a sinful humanity. The Gospel of Mark, my brothers and sisters, come across at the very fast pace of scriptures if you read them, so much so that you find yourself find the words immediately, you find the words straight away, or you find the words suddenly often throughout this book of the Bible. When we look at Mark chapter 1 verses 18 through 20, Jesus stops by the Sea of Galilee and four fishermen drop their nets and they follow Jesus, and they did it immediately. Mark chapter 1 verse 31, Jesus stopped by Simon's mother-in-law's house and she suffered a fever. Jesus steps into the house, addresses the fever, and the Bible said that the fever left her immediately. Mark chapter 1 verse 42, there's a man who is suffering with leprosy, and the Bible said that after Jesus had spoken, the leprosy was cleansed, and it was cleansed immediately. Mark chapter 2 verse 12, Jesus is in an undisclosed house, it's crowded, and a man who has palsy, the people break open the roof, they tear the roof off, let a man down through the roof in front of Jesus, and the Bible said that the man that had leprosy was cleansed immediately. Mark chapter 5 verse 29, there's a woman suffering with the issue of blood, and the Bible said that she touched the hem of Jesus' robe and her blood issue dried up, and it dried up immediately. Mark chapter 5 verse 32, there's a little girl whose father name is Jairus, and the daughter dies while they're headed to the house. Jesus goes into Jairus' house and goes up to the bedroom where the girl had just died, and he says, Talitha Kuma, which means daughter, arise. And the Bible said that she arose immediately. Mark chapter 7 verse 35, there's a man who is deaf and had a speech impediment. The Bible said that Jesus untucked his cloak up ears, he spat and touched his tongue, and he was able to hear and speak clearly, and this happened immediately. But in all of these miracles, my brothers and sisters, that are recorded, that are taking place immediately, there are times when God simply does not move immediately. Let me say that again. In all of this here right here, there are times when God does not move immediately. There are times when God moves extremely slow. There are times, yes, somebody, there are times when he moves extremely slow. So much so that oftentimes we wonder if God has even forgotten all about us, or if God has moved on to something else. There are times, there are some of us who are still waiting on God to move in our lives on prayers and petitions we made last year. There are some of us who are still waiting and believing God to move according to prayers and petitions we made 2 years back. There are some of us who are still waiting on God to move according to your prayers and petitions based on what we did 10 years back. There are some of us who are waiting on God to move according to our prayers and petitions based on our prayers we placed some days back. And the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we simply just have to learn to wait on God. But as much as you want God to do it immediately, he's not always going to do it immediately. He's going to subject you to a process that requires some steps and some stages. Who in here can testify about having to wait on the Lord? Let me just say this right now. Just because Jesus didn't move immediately in your case, just because Jesus is taking you through steps and stages and processes towards your miracle, doesn't mean that there's something wrong with your faith. God heard your prayers. God knows the urgency in which you need him to move. God knows that the longer he takes, the closer you get to losing your mind. God knows that if he doesn't move sooner or later, you're liable to take care of this situation yourself. But in all of this, my brothers and sisters, there are still times when God doesn't move immediately. And there are times when there are steps and stages in the process. And this church has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with God and his process. If you don't mind, look at a neighbor and tell him, get through the process. We gotta just get through the process. And in this particular passage, my brothers and sisters, God is taking this blind man through steps and stages towards his miracle. And while God is taking us through the process, he's teaching us a very valuable lesson along the way. And a very valuable lesson to behold here is the fact that there's a benefit in having somebody or some people who's got your back. Because verse 22 says, and they brought the man to Jesus. The miracle is initiated and launched through the ministry of evangelism because they brought him to Jesus. And the good news, my brothers and sisters, is that this is a ministry of evangelism. And had it not been for the evangelism, many of us would not be here today. And I'm so glad, my brothers and sisters, for the day, because it was the day who brought this blind man to Jesus. And I'm so glad today for the day, because they saw Jesus when I couldn't see him. They loved me enough to bring me to Jesus when I couldn't find him myself. And I'm so glad today for the day, because they had it not been for these days, many of us would still be in the world today. So the next time we celebrate Jesus for saving us, please don't forget the often forgotten day. They had a hand in your salvation. They were the ones who when you rejected them, they still pursued you. They still prayed for you. There are times, my brothers and sisters, when we just need to thank God for the day in our lives who is responsible for our salvation. It was the day who brought you and I to a Jesus when we couldn't go to him ourselves. And it was Jesus who orchestrated the day to bring them to us. But if you are glad about it today, that it was the day who was instrumental in your salvation, then give God a praise in this sanctified house right now. Whoever that day was your grandmother, that day was your great-grandmother, that day was your mother, that day was your father, that day was your spouse, that day was your family, that day was your neighbor. So God, we thank you today for the day who cared more enough about me, more enough about my salvation than having a name on a church. God, thank you for the day who cared more about me and my salvation than they cared about being recognized by the pastor. God, thanks for the day who you sent to witness to me when I didn't want to go on my own. God, thank you for the day who, when you use him as an example, they let me know that Jesus saved. God, thank you for the day, because had the day not come, I wouldn't be here today. So God, I thank you today for the day. Let me just take a moment here, if you can just put that day on your mind. And when you get that day on your mind, who's responsible for witnessing to you and for being an instrument in your salvation, I'm going to give you time to give God praise in this house right now. It was the day. But let me just say this here, my brothers and sisters, that just because they brought you to Jesus doesn't mean that they can tell Jesus how to handle you. Let me say that again. Just because they brought you to Jesus doesn't mean that they can tell Jesus how to handle you. How do I know this? Because the Bible said that they brought him to Jesus, but then Jesus took the man by the hand and he walked him out of the city. I know we might think, how is this best for the man? I know we may be thinking, how is this? How did it take? What didn't take all this for him to be saved? But the Bible said that Jesus grabbed the blind man by the hand and he carried him away. And so when we bring us to Jesus, we have to let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do, because it's him who's going to do the saving. We have to let God be God, because he knows what he's dealing with. It is he who's going to do the healing. It is he who's doing the restoring. It is he who's doing the mending. It's he who's doing the molding. It's he who's doing the making. It's he who's doing the breaking. It's he who's doing the convicting. It's he who's doing the transforming. And it's he who's doing the leading. And so sometimes we just have to let God be God. And the Bible says that Jesus took the man by the hand while he was still blind. He didn't give the man his sight and say, walk with me. He just simply said, walk with me, while the man was still blind. Sometimes, church, before you receive your miracle, you have to spend some time walking with Jesus. When you can't even see your miracle, you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know how it's going to get to you. Sometimes you just have to learn to walk with Jesus while you're blind. You just have to learn to walk with him before you receive your miracle. Because while you're walking with him, while you're blind, he's perfecting your faith in him. Because when you don't see him, that's when you have to depend on God to guide you and to lead you along the way. And so while I can't see my way out of this thing, Lord, I want you to guide me along the way. Lord, I don't know how I even got into this mess, but I'm trusting you to guide me to my miracle, to guide me out of this mess that I'm in. Lord, I can't find my way out of this dilemma that I'm facing right now. So I'm trusting you, God, to guide me out and to bring about my miracle. The Bible says when the children of Israel were walking into the miracle, into the promised land, they were guided by a pillar of fire by day and a cloud, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And all they knew was that God was taking them to a promised land and a miracle that they didn't know how to get to or where to go. And today, church, God is taking us from our promise into our possession. But how we get there is by letting him guide us all of the way. Even when it doesn't feel good, let God guide you. Even when it's taking too long, let God guide you. Even when he's taking you on a road that you're not familiar with, let God guide you. Even when you have to experience some difficult times, still let God guide you. Even when you have to, it looks like there's an easier way, you still have to let God guide you. Even when it seems like friends are going in a different way, you still have to let God guide you. Even when it feels like you're heading down an unpopular road, you still have to let God guide you. Even when it feels like you don't know which way to go, you have to let God guide you. Even when it feels like the road that you're traveling on makes no sense at all, you still have to let God guide you. Even when it feels like the road you're traveling on seems dangerous, you still have to let God guide you. And if you're ready to let God guide you and you no longer want to do it yourself, I dare you to just lift up your hands and say, Lord, lead me. Lord, we need you to lead me. Lord, guide me in this dry season. Lord, guide me in this lonely season. Lord, guide me in this transforming season. Lord, guide me in this development season. Lord, guide me in this turning point. Lord, guide me at this crossroad. Lord, guide me when I'm angry. Lord, guide me when I don't feel like it. Lord, guide me when I'm up. Lord, guide me when I'm down. Lord, I just need you to guide me. Because I don't know which way to go. And if you guide me, I know that you would take me to that expected end. Can somebody say yes, Lord, in this house? The reason, my brothers and sisters, why some of us have to walk and have to have yet to walk into our miracle is because we went the way we wanted instead of letting God guide us. Sometimes if you want to get where you want to, if you've never gone before, we've got to learn to trust the one who's been there before. Sometimes if we want to experience miracles, we have to trust the one who knows the road it takes to lead us to our miracles. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, if we want to get to our destiny, we have to allow the one who created our destiny to lead us to the destiny that he created. But the Bible says, when we think about this, the Bible says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And his leading, my brothers and sisters, is necessary because the very next verse tells us that there is trouble along the way. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is leading me all the way. And if he's leading me all the way, then just like the good shepherd, God will protect me along the way. And because of this, I don't have to worry. Because of this, I don't have to fret. Because of this, I don't have to fear. Because the great one who is leading me is also the great one who is inside of me. And the great one who is inside of me is also the great one who is covering me. And the great one who is covering me is also the great one who is interceding for me. And the great one who is interceding for me is also the great one who is protecting me. And the great one who is protecting me is also the great one who loves me. And the great one who loves me is also the great one who has a plan for me. And the great one who has a plan for me is also the great one who wants the very best for me. Look at the neighbor and just tell him, trust in the Lord. And the rest of that verse says, and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Walk with him when you don't have vision. Walk with him when you can't see it. Walk with him when you don't feel it. Walk with him when you don't want to. Walk with him because he's the one that's leading you to your miracle. songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. There's a time we simply have to make our minds up that we're just going to follow Jesus and trust the process. He had to walk with Jesus because Jesus was leading him out of danger and into his protection. The Bible said that Jesus took the blind man out of Bethsaida. And for those who don't understand the danger of Bethsaida, in the book of Matthew chapter 11 verses 20 through 22, the Bible said that Jesus cursed Bethsaida for the unrepentant works. And so now let me say that again. Jesus takes the blind man and he takes him out of a cursed land. In other words, the blind man was in trouble and on cursed ground and he didn't even know it. And there are some of us, my brothers and sisters, who may be blinded and can't see the places that we're standing on are cursed grounds. And because we are blind to see that it's cursed, we have to allow Jesus to take us out of the ground, the cursed ground, and onto a ground that is blessed. Whenever Jesus is pulling you, my brothers and sisters, you need to go. Because it's not always about where God is taking you to. Sometimes it could be what God is taking you out of. He's trying to move you out of that cursed ground, and you simply don't seal it. If he's pulling you, you need to go with him. If he's snatching you, you need to go with him. God is looking to get you out of trouble before that trouble takes you out. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we just simply have to say, Lord, thank you for bringing me out of that stuff. I didn't see it. I didn't know that it was leading to destruction. But Lord, I just simply thank you, Lord. I was in a bad relationship. I was in a bad marriage. I was in a bad business deal. I was in a bad situation. I was in a bad career. I was in a bad society. I was in a bad location. I couldn't even see that I was in it. But now that you brought me out of it, all I can do is just look back and say, thank you, Lord, for what you brought me out of. I didn't see that it was cursed when I was in it. But now that you brought me out of it and you opened my eyes up, I simply just got to say, thank you, Lord. Because had it not been for you seeing for my best interest and taking me out of that bad situation, I don't know what could have happened to me. And so, Lord, now that I look back on it, I can simply say, if it wasn't for you on my side, I don't know where I would be today. If you're thankful to God that he brought you out of some bad situations, let me hear you give God praise in this house right now. Thank you for giving me deliverance from a ground that I didn't even know was cursed. Thank you for removing me from a group of people who meant me no good. Thank you, Lord, because had you not moved me out of that situation, I would still be in it today. Thank you, Lord, because you pulled me out of that situation and that it showed that you had something better for me. Slap a neighbor about it. Just slap a neighbor a high five and just tell them, welcome to better. Yeah, you walked into better. When the Lord snatched you out of that situation, you walked into your better. Yeah, you didn't know that you were walking on cursed ground. But when the Lord led you out of that way, he led you to better ground. And because of that, you on solid ground. Because of that, you're not cursed today. Because of that, that destruction that was meant for you on that cursed ground won't take place. And because of that, I can give God praise in this house right now. Some of you can remember that bad situation that God pulled you out of. And for a moment, you may not understand the why. But later on, when God gives you revelation that God was protecting you by removing you, then you can give him praise. And we think about this, my brothers and sisters. The Bible said that Jesus grabs him by the hand and leads him out of the city. And then he spits in his eyes. When we read the Bible, Jesus regularly ran into blind people. And his process of healing, it was different. In one occasion, Jesus laid his hands on some blind people and they were healed. On another occasion, he ran into someone who was blind and his presence was there as a source of healing. He ran into blind Bartimaeus on the roadside and he just spoke a word and blind Bartimaeus was healed. Then he gets to this one and the Bible said that Jesus spat in his eyes. Spitting on someone, my brothers and sisters, it was and it still is one of the lowest ways of disgrace that anybody could ever go through. But here we have Jesus spitting in this blind man's eyes. Can I tell you what that means, my brothers and sisters? it means that it's the same problem as before, but this time Jesus has a different process. It means that you may be facing the same problem as before, and you may be expecting God to move the same way he did for somebody else, but God has said for you, I've got a different process. And so that means, my brothers and sisters, you simply have to just trust the process, because in the end, it doesn't matter. The process is still led to the healing. And so we just have to say, God, I just trust you. God, I would rather not you spit on me, but if it's going to bring back my healing, then so be it. God, I would rather not you spit on me, but if it's going to bring back my deliverance, then spit on me, God. As a matter of fact, spit over my whole body, because my whole body needs to be sanctified. God, whatever you want to do, I simply just have to learn to trust you, because I know that my ways are not your ways. And so whatever way you want to do it, God, just simply have your way. So brothers and sisters, what this tells us is the way that he does it for some may not be the same way that he does it for another. Some of us, he just puts his hands on you. Some of us, he just simply gave you his presence. Others, you heard a word and you got your deliverance and your healing. Now then there are others, he had to spit on you. Now he had to take you through a nasty process. He had to take you to a very gross process. But in the end, regardless of the process, you still got your healing. Regardless of the process, you still got your miracle. Regardless of the process, you still got your breakthrough. Regardless of the process, you still got your deliverance. Regardless of the process, you still got your joy. Regardless of the process, you still got your power. Regardless of the process, you still got your vision. Regardless of the process, you still got your anointing. Regardless of the process, you still got the victory. Regardless of the process, you still got the job. Regardless of the process, you still got the raise. Regardless of the process, you still got the promotion. Regardless of the process, you still got restoration. God, I don't care how you do it. Just work a miracle in my life. If you have to dip me in the dirtiest water, then I'll go. If you have to spit on me, God, then let it be. If I have to eat crumb from the master's table, then I'll do it for my miracle. If I have to climb up a tree to see you, Lord, I'll do it. Because I've learned that desperate times require desperate measures. And sometimes in order for you to get something you've never gotten, you have to do something that you've never done. And I'm also, when we think about this, my brothers and sisters, I'm throwing normal away, because what I'm in, it ain't normal. My anointing ain't normal. My deliverance ain't normal. My breakthrough ain't normal. My joy ain't normal. My sanctification ain't normal. My calling ain't normal. My restoration ain't normal. My discernment ain't normal, because the Bible says that we are a peculiar people. And the last time I checked, my brothers and sisters, peculiar and normal are different as oil and water. Cover the woman with the issue of blood. She tried the normal way to receive her healing, but the method of her normal way of healing wasn't her way. It wasn't the normal way. Cover Naaman, a man who had leprosy, who was on his way to see the man to be healed, and the method of his healing wasn't the way, and it wasn't normal in how he got his healing. Cover the beggar by the gate called Beautiful. He was expecting just to receive a blessing and help through the day, but the blessing he received wasn't what he was expecting, and it wasn't normal. And so I'm of the mindset, my brother and sister, that however you want to do it, God, I'm letting God be God. Can somebody say yes, Lord, in this house? The Bible says that after Jesus spat on the man's eyes, he asked him, do you see? When Jesus asked him, do you see anything? He wasn't asking for confirmation. He was asking so that he could receive the glory. And when he asked if he sees, the man responded. He says, I see. And when Jesus spat on him, the man was able to see. But when he says, I responded, he said, I see. That means that the spit worked, my brothers and sisters. As soon as he said, I see, because this was a man who couldn't see before. But when he asked him, could you see, after he spat on him, that tells me that the spit worked. He said, I see men as trees walking. This means that Jesus had to touch him, my brothers and sisters, a second time. But the first time he touched him was for his sight. But the second time he touched him, it was for his focus. He says, I see, which is reality. And then he says, as trees, which is perception. And so Jesus had to touch him again to give him a focus. Tell somebody today, I need to get my focus back. Yeah, I gotta get back in school. I gotta get back to working on that promotion. I gotta get back to writing that book. I've gotta get back to starting my business. I gotta get back to being faithful to God. I gotta get back to focusing on my mental health. I gotta get back to focusing on my mind and my body. I have to get back to taking back my life. I gotta get back to reestablishing my ministry. I've gotta get back to reestablishing my identity. I've gotta get back to reestablishing my family because my focus was off. Somebody just lift your eyes and your hands and say, Lord, fix my focus. Yeah, Lord, we need you to fix our focus in this house because I let people distract me. I let mean people make me quit. I let bad relationships ruin my spirit. I let anger cause me to make some bad decisions. I let pride direct my path. I let jealousy delete my decisions. I let arrogance control my mind. I let my focus, and I need to get my focus in order. So Jesus didn't just touch him a second time because the first time didn't work. He touched him a second time because there was a problem with his focus, and because he had a problem with his focus, Jesus had to touch him again. There are some of us, my brothers and sisters, who can see, but our focus is off, and because of that, we need Jesus to touch us again. And in my closing, and the Bible says that Jesus touched the man a second time, and the man saw clearly. How do we know that the man's vision was fixed? Here's the question. Where did he go? Where did the trees go? The first time he said he saw trees, but when he touched them a second time, and his vision was fixed, the question is, where did the trees go? He says, I see men, which is reality. And then he says, I see trees, which is a perception. And when his vision was clear, he no longer sees what he wasn't supposed to see. And if this man saw men as trees, this means that he wasn't born blind. Because how could he know that what he saw was a tree and a man? How would he know what they looked like if he didn't have his sight before? So God wasn't giving him his sight. God was restoring his sight. And in my closing, my brothers and sisters, I simply want to say that God is restoring you. And this is why we need God to touch me again. Because in that second touch, he's going to restore some things that we lost before. Whatever was lost, that's where God needs to touch and restore back to you. And if God is asking anybody here today, who needs the Lord to touch you again and to restore you? If you don't mind, grab a neighbor by the hand and shake them and rock them and rock them and shake them and tell them, I need a touch from God. Lord, I need you to touch me again. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need you to restore my prayer life. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need you to restore my fasting life. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need you to help me to see clearer. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need you to teach me how to love again. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need you to teach me how to trust again. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need your anointing to fall on me again. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I want to see you clearly in my life. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my family. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my marriage. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you on the altar. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my praise. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my worship. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my dance. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you, my brothers and sisters. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in my finances. Lord, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you when I witness. Grab a neighbor by the hand and tell them, God is restoring your salvation. God is restoring your joy. God is restoring your power. God is restoring your vision. God is restoring your ministry. God is restoring your finances. God is restoring your family. God is restoring you all. And all that happened when he touched me again. And if you can see that restoration, then give God praise in this house. God, I need you to touch me again. God, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you more clearly. God, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in power. God, I need you to touch me again because I need to see you in glory. God, I need you to touch me again because I want to see you in love. God, I need you to touch me again because I need to see your anointing. God, I need you to touch me again because you gave me my first sight. Now I need vision. Lord, I thank you because you touched me again. Lord, I thank you because you touched me a second time. I thank you you, God, because you cared enough for me to touch me a second time. And because of that, I need you to touch me again. Lord, 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 I need you to touch me again. When we think about this, my brothers and sisters, when we think about the word again, there are three reasons why this word again takes place. The first time again takes place is because the first time it may not have been done right. And then it needs to be done again. But God is too powerful to need to do it again. When he does it the first time, it's done right the first time. And the second time, second reason why we need God to touch us again is because God did it right the first time, but we simply just messed it up. And so we need God to touch us again. And we vow this time, God, when you touch me again, I'm not going to mess it up again. So God, I need you to touch me again. I need you to touch me again, because this time I'm going to protect my anointing. This time I'm going to protect my ministry. This time I'm going to love right. This time I'm going to do right. But Lord, if you just touch me again, I promise you I won't lose it again. And then the third reason why we need a second touch from God is because the touch the first time was so good, you need him to do it again. Let me say that again. The third reason why we need a touch from God is because the first time was so good, we need him to do it again. I'm reminding my brothers and sisters that when my son was younger, I used to grab him and just throw him in the air and catch him. And I continued to do that for so many times. And then my arms would get tired. And when my arms got tired, I would tell him I'm getting tired. But he said something to me that seemed to strengthen me. And what he said again was, "Do it again, Daddy." And sometime when he said, "Do it again," that empowered me to the point where my arms weren't strengthened, weren't weak anymore. Because he simply said, "Do it again, Daddy." And when he said, "Do it again, Daddy," it seemed like all power came over me and that I can just keep on throwing him again, because he was encouraging me when he said, "Do it again." And so this is what we got to tell God. "Do it again, Daddy. I need you to do it again. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my mind so I can think right. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my eyes so I can see better. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my mouth so I can speak better. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my heart so I can love better. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my hands so I can praise better. Do it again, Daddy. I need you to touch my feet so I can dance better. Do it again, Daddy. Because the first time you did it was so good, I need you to do it again. If there's anybody here who wants the Lord to touch him again, then stand on your feet and give God the loudest praise in this house. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. Lord, I need another touch from you. Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. Lord, I need you to touch me. Touch my mind to make me think better. Touch my eyes, Lord, to help me see better. Lord, touch my mouth to help me speak better. Lord, I need you to touch my heart to help me to love better. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Lord, you did it best the first time. But Lord, I simply just need you to do it again. Do it again, Lord. Lord, touch me again. Lord, touch me again. If there's anybody here, that's your prayer today, Lord, touch me again. Then give God praise in this house. Do it again, Daddy. Touch me, Lord. Do it again, Daddy. 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 I need your touch. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. I need your touch. Do it again, Daddy. I need your touch. Do it again, Daddy. I need your touch. Because I feel you working all over me. Do it again, Daddy. I need to feel you in power and demonstration. Do it again, Daddy. I promise you I won't lose it. Do it again, Daddy. I need your touch. Do it again, Daddy. I need you. Do it again, Daddy. Touch me all over. Touch me along my feet and anoint my feet. Touch me along my hips and anoint my hips. Touch me along my heart and anoint my heart. Touch me along my mind and anoint my mind. Touch me along my hands and anoint my hands. Do it again, Daddy. I just need a second touch from you. Do it again. If that's your prayer today, give God praise again in this house. Do it again, Daddy. Come on, let's just give God praise. Do it again, Daddy. Shumandere.